Hey, sports fans, did you know there is a convention just for you? Just like all the geeks have Comic-Con, now you have SportsCon. Be there July 13th and meet fantasy superstars like Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, and Patty Mahomes. These are just a few of the hundreds of players and personalities at the SportsCon this year. Not to mention your favorite people ever, Sleeper Wire and Eat Sleep Fantasy Podcast will be hosting the official fantasy draft party of SportsCon. We've got live drafts, draft boards provided by Draft Party USA. We've got raffles for signed jerseys courtesy of Prestige Sports Memorabilia, dinner, drinks, trivia, and much more. Tickets are limited, so get them now. When they're gone, you're going to wish you had one. Join us July 13th at Top Golf in Dallas for the best after party of SportsCon. Check out draftnightout.com for more info.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me today, we have a great guest on the show, coming back to the show for, I think, the third or fourth time. But before I introduce him, I have Prophet Hoos with me on the show. How's it going, man?
Quite all right. You know, could be a little better if the ping pong balls bounce that way. But this is a football-related show. I don't want to get too much into it, but, you know, was hoping the Knicks would get the first pick. It didn't happen, but, you know, top three, I'll take it, I guess. What else are we going to do?
Tanking for Zion didn't exactly work, huh?
Nope. 86% chance of it not happening.
Exactly, yeah. So, George, yeah. How are you doing?
I had no ping pongs in the game today. Well, my team actually made the playoffs, so I can't feel Hoos's pain. I'm happy with my team.
My team did too. Pacers made it, but got swept. I was just hoping they'd win one game without Oladipo. But anyway,
we won one. We beat Toronto, and then the Magic lost.
Oh, there we go. All right, like I said, guys, we have a very special guest back on the show, Pat Fitzmorris of the Fitz on Fantasy podcast, also a contributor to Football Girl, and a Pro Am participant last year, and going to be in the Pro Am again this year. Pat, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Chris. Good to be on with you, Hoos and George. And I'm feeling pretty good since I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan. Things are going pretty well so far, and hopefully we can keep it rolling for two more series.
And Giannis is the man.
Oh, man. Giannis is the guy. Giannis, you guys got so lucky with him.
The supporting cast isn't bad either. It's, you know, I know it's team show, but you know, they get a pretty good group around it. So I'm pretty optimistic.
Have you ever gone back and looked at the Bucks Twitter feed the night they drafted him? Man, so many fans killed that draft pick. They were so down on him. Like, who's this guy? He's a bum. Right. This is why we don't ever win nothing. You just never know what you're getting. I mean, dude is a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's killing it.
There were so many years in the 90s where we loved our draft, where we had some college, you know, some great college players. Like the year we took the Todd Day, Lee Mayberry combo from Arkansas, or Sean Respert from Michigan State, big scorer. And, you know, those guys just completely busted in the NBA. And the 90s were a pretty bleak period for Buck fans. So I'm all for the international route. It worked pretty well with Giannis. And yeah. Thankfully, you know, they don't listen to the fans for those things because
what do we know?
Exactly. And my God, if I had to make NBA draft picks, like whatever NBA team I was general managing would be in the lottery every year because I'm not good at that.
Great at evaluating football talent. Sorry, I was going to say great at evaluating football talent, not basketball so much, huh?
Exactly.
All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and get into the show. So today we are going to do a way too early breakdown of the AFC. We're gonna project them to finish next year. Talk about some of the fantasy relevant players and where we think they should be drafted as of May 14th when this is being recorded. But first, we have a couple pieces of news, so let's go ahead and get into that. Biggest news of the week, Doug Baldwin retiring. Pat, I'll give this to you first. What do you think this is, what effect this is going to have on Seattle's offensive game planning? Does this make Tyler Lockett a potential top 15, top 20 wide receiver?
Yeah, I'd say top 20. I mean, I think I have him like wide receiver 19, wide receiver 20, somewhere in there. We saw last year that they wanted to be pretty run heavy, which is kind of par for the course with Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator. And they kind of had the horses to do that with Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. I think they feel like that sort of mitigates their so-so to mediocre pass blocking. So they're looking for balance. But, yeah, you know, with not much at the tight end position, yeah, Will Disley, Nick Vannette, Ed Dixon, there's definitely room for some receivers to step up. You know, Tyler Lockett had the crazy efficiency last year, like 13.8 yards per route run, which is insane. A catch rate over 80%. Like, all that's going to come down, yes. But he also had, like, what, 79, 80 targets last year. And, you know, we could definitely see a number north of 100 for him. So whatever efficiency drop we see from him, I think the extra pass volume is going to make up for it. And then it's just going to be really interesting to see how the supporting cast shakes out. Whether, you know, I think I was explaining this on my pod earlier this week where, you know, if you put a gun to my head and force me to guess who's going to score more fantasy points between DK Metcalf and David Moore, I would probably say David Moore. Like, I think it's maybe a 55-45 proposition there, with Moore being a slight favorite. But I'm going to rank DK Metcalf higher because Moore does not have the ceiling that Metcalf has. You know, I don't think Moore can be an 1,100, 1,200-yard guy this year. And you know, maybe there's a chance. I'm skeptical, but there is a chance that Metcalf is a Randy Moss Jr. or, you know, maybe that's a little extreme. But, you know, another Josh Gordon type. So he's going to be a guy – we're all going to be watching real closely in training camp.
See, when I look at DK Metcalf, I almost think of a little bit more athletic Dez Bryant. I think he could play that type of a role in Seattle.
Yeah, he should.
I definitely love Moore here. He only had 26 receptions, 445 yards. He averaged 17 a clip on that 54 long. So I think he's going to see a lot of that, those long bombs. Russell Wilson loves him, and he had 5 touchdowns. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you, Pat, there. I could see him outscoring Metcalf. You want to rank him a little bit higher, but in a best ball, give me David Moore all day. I mean, he's a great best ball guy.
Yeah, it's a real, real interesting to see. And I think there's actually room for both of those guys to produce. You know, it's probably going to be a bumpy ride with each of them. So maybe best ball's the way to go with those guys. But, you know, it's not out of the question that one or the other winds up being, you know, a pretty solid guy you could trot out every week in a redraft league. But, yeah, the target distribution in Seattle is going to be interesting to watch this year.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. So trade rumor here, the Vikings are shopping Kyle Rudolph. Where do you think the best landing spot for him is going to be?
Right off the back, probably, I want to say, like, maybe the Jaguars. They don't really have much. They have Jeff Swaim. They just drafted Josh Oliver, who I like. I don't know if he's going to be able to step in right away. I mean, he did lead San Jose in receiving yards. So, but they still don't really have too much. I know a lot of people are high on Didi. I believe Pat is as well. But I don't really see it too much. So I think that could be a good landing spot for him there. Another one, the Patriots still don't have much. You know, they just added ASJ, and then they added Ben Watson. I think Ben Watson, unless you're in a points per blocking like we were talking about last week, I don't know how much he's going to help you. So I think those would be two offenses that he could step in right away and obviously be a factor in fantasy.
George, give me one landing spot.
Houston. They don't have nothing there. Yep, they got nothing there.
I like
that. That is what I was going to say. Pat, you got a spot?
I think New England, if he goes somewhere. You know, I'm just not buying that they can run out Austin Seferi and Jenkins every week and trust him. And, you know, Ben Watson is pushing 40. So, yeah, I do kind of think the Patriots are the most likely destination.
And once again, teams are going to help the Patriots again. They're going to give like a seventh-round pick for him.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind to see him going to Seattle either. I think Seattle would actually be a good spot for him.
Not on the Will Disley train?
No.
All right. Pat, do you think Irv Smith is going to be top 12?
I do not.
Same here.
Same here. Like, I don't know that the snap count is going to be what we would like it to be. And you've got, you know, two pretty target-heavy wide receivers there. Those guys suck up a lot of oxygen in that passing game. So I don't know if there's room for a tight end to put up big numbers there to begin with. And this is a team that wants to run the ball. And I think Irv Smith is kind of an unusual fit for them. I was kind of surprised by that draft pick. It just doesn't seem like the kind of pick for a team that wants to run the ball and throw to their outstanding pair of wide receivers.
Yeah, if you have Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and a quarterback who throws for a lot of passing yards, why would you say we want to only run the ball? You know, like that's what we want to do. We want to run. I think the Vikings are going to have a great offense this season, but come on. You don't want to be a running team with those two guys.
Right. No, it's more a function of coaching philosophy than personnel, I think. And, yeah, I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense.
You know, I got to meet Mike Zimmer a couple weeks ago. So I work at a brewery that's a half mile away from the Vikings training camp, and the Vikings rented out the brewery right after the NFL draft for, like, their post-NFL draft party, like, that Saturday night. And all the front office, coaches, GM, trainers, scouts, everybody was there. Mike Zimmer drinks $100 bottles of wine.
Of course he would. Why wouldn't he? Why would he not?
I was about to say, why wouldn't he?
We have that wine at the brewery for the sole reason that Mike Zimmer comes there sometimes, and that's his brand. Like, it's so expensive, we can't even sell it by the glass. We only sell it by the bottle.
Or they're not paying us, so we're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, it was cool to meet him and Gary Kubiak, though. I watched Kubiak as a Colts fan. I watched him in Houston for a long time, so that was a cool thing.
Sweet.
Anyways, let's move on. Hoos, I'm going to kick this next one to you first because you watched him for years more than everybody else did. Odell Beckham Jr. reports to voluntary minicamp. Is this a new OBJ? Is this something that you wish he had been doing in New York?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if he seems like a new person. I mean, it's very early. It's off season, but he's not showing. I mean, there's no Instagram pictures with him, you know, hanging out with girls, snorting coke or rolling, you know, whatever. It's like he's not doing it. And this is he's got his money. He could continue doing it if he wants to. But he's not. I mean, obviously, you would have liked this. We probably would have never given him up. But again, we got Gettleman. So who knows what Gettleman was? Yeah, it's a maddening situation. I don't really like to talk about Odell Beckham because it's, you know.
Yeah, no, you don't like him.
Yeah. No, I love him. He's not on the team anymore. It's you know, hurts my heart to.
It
know.
Does. So I think being back with Landry like they were at LSU is huge. I think it sort of ignited or reignited a spark in him. What do you think, George?
I think he's got a chip on his shoulder from the way he was portrayed in New York. I don't think he was as much of a distraction. I just think it was that New York media hyping everything up. Listen, your heart's broke. Go fix it. I think a lot of that was in the New York media. Now, yes, he did do some stupid stuff out on a boat. Yes, there was the whole in bed with a hooker and some coke thing going on up there, which is kind of questionable. But I think he's got a big chip on his shoulder, and I think he went to a team that doesn't have Eli Manning as a quarterback and has a real quarterback in Baker. I think he thinks they have a legitimate chance to do a whole lot of damage for the first time in his career, and he wants to be a team guy.
New Patriots.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, they haven't been caught cheating yet several times.
Yeah, that's true. We got to give them that credit.
All right, let's move on to this last thing here. Hard Knocks. Team hasn't been announced yet. Pat, Who do you think should be on there of these four teams? Oakland Raiders, Cleveland Browns, San Francisco 49ers, or the New York Giants?
Does this mean we don't want the Lions? Because aren't they also eligible?
Eh. All right, throw them in there.
All right, no, the Lions would not be my first choice either. God, and I know a lot of people want Gettleman, but part of me really wants to see the Raiders. I think it would be interesting to see Chucky and Mayock and Antonio Brown. You know, it would have to be somewhat dysfunctional, and I think we like to watch it for some of the dysfunction. So I suppose it would be that way with the Giants too, but you know, it just seems like they're going to give it to the Raiders. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I think the Antonio Brown drama over the offseason makes me lean towards Raiders as well. Hoos, George, each one of you, just give me a quick team.
Raiders.
Go Browns again. That would be cool to watch.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our early breakdown of the AFC. We're going to kick it off with the AFC North, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers first. So, starters on the depth chart, we've got Ben Roethlisberger, James Conner, Dante Moncrief, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Vance McDonald. Ben Roethlisberger, he finished as, I believe, the QB2 last year, does not have Antonio Brown anymore. So, Pat, do you think Roethlisberger is even going to be top 10 this year?
No, and I think he's going to be a guy to avoid. I think he's going to be overdrafted by a lot of people based on last year, bound to fall off without Antonio. You know, not that that's going to completely cripple their passing game, but, you know, he's lost Le'Veon Bell, a guy who could make a lot of yards for him on little dump-off passes. You know, not this offseason, obviously, but, you know, that's a guy he had 2 years ago. He's now lost Antonio Brown, you know, one of the best receivers of this generation. As much as I like Juju and, you know, I like Vance McDonald, and I'm optimistic that they find someone to compliment Juju, it's just not as good a situation for Ben. He's getting older. He's always gotten dinged up pretty frequently. So, no, I'm not real interest in drafting him, and I would bet against him finishing out of the top 10.
Do you know where he's being drafted right now, according to Fantasy Football Calculator?
I don't. I'd guess around QB9.
QB17.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. He's going in the 11th round as the 17th quarterback taken.
Well, credit to the people then.
That's
pretty apt. In fact, I think I have him at 17 myself. I do.
Would you take Garoppolo over him? Because he's going right before him.
Oh, God, I think I've got Garoppolo like a spot or two below.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on. James Conner. George, I'll kick this one to you. Top 5, top 10. Right now he is being drafted. Let me see. Where did it go? I just had it at the 112, last pick in the first round in a PPR.
Now, I'll say he's going to be a top 10. I'm not going to put him up there in the top 5. Last year, if I'm not mistaken, in 13 games, he finished with just under 1,000 yards, just under 500 receiving. He had 55 catches. I think he had 11 total touchdowns. I could see a small decline in the touchdowns. I don't know if he'll hit double-digit rushing touchdowns again. But with all the passing weapons gone, I could see him actually bumping up his receiving touchdowns. I think he can get probably 3 or 4. I say he's a top 10 easy running back.
Would you take Connor over Mixon, Cook, or Chubb?
I would take Connor over Mixon, not over Chubb.
What about Dalvin Cook?
I'm concerned with Dalvin Cook's injury history. I know he came back last year and it took him a while to get going, and then he got going at the end of the year, but I'm still going to take Connor over Cook.
All right. Hoos, what about you? First-round pick or no?
Connor? Yeah, I'm extremely high on Connor. I've got him in my top 4, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When he's healthy, he's Bell's replacement. He was a beast. He put up better numbers than Bell. So I see no reason for him to stop there. Yeah, I'm firmly there. So
do you have Barkley, Zeke, McCaffrey, then Connor?
Yeah, that's exactly how I have it, actually.
What about you, Pat?
I've got him at number 10.
Okay.
You know, feeling good about him somewhere around the turn, either late first or early second. You know, I don't love the player. I think he's a quality running back in a great situation. And, you know, I think as much as I like Jalen Samuels, I do think he's kind of a complimentary piece. So, you know, he's definitely not Le'Veon Bell, but the situation is great. And, you know, after not thinking much of Connor his first couple years in the league, like last year, he balled out. And, you know, I think he's pretty solid, and I like the spot for him.
All right, let's talk about the wide receivers. Like I said, we have Dante Moncrief and Juju Smith-Schuster. They seem to be the one and two. Juju, obviously the one. He's going to be drawing a lot of the double coverage. I am kind of surprised by this, and maybe not at the same time. George, who would you rather have, Moncrief or James Washington?
Do I have to have either one?
Yes.
Give me Moncrief because I think he'll score more touchdowns.
All right. And Vance McDonald, Pat. You love him this year? He is going right now in the seventh round as, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, as the ninth tight end off the board.
Yeah, I think I've got him 10th. So I like him well enough. You know, I wouldn't complain if you're going to wait on tight end if you don't get one of the big three, Kelce, Kittle, Ertz. You know, I'd be perfectly happy to get McDonald later, but if I don't get one of those three, I'm probably waiting like beyond the seventh round though. So you know, like him, back end tight end one, not a guy I'm gonna jump up for though.
It looks like if you're waiting till after the seventh round, we got Njoku at the end of the eighth, Hooper or beginning of the eighth, Austin Hooper end of the ninth, Delanie Walker still going in the 11th round, still a top 10 tight end taken off the board. I think that's a mistake. Trey Burton in the 12th, and he was the tight end 7 last year. So it looks like we do have a little bit of value later. Let's go ahead and move to the team that I think most people are super excited about. They might be the super team. Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and David Njoku. I think Baker Mayfield, I tweeted this as soon as OBJ got traded there, Baker is going to be a top five quarterback this season. Pat, do you have him that high?
I've got him 6, and okay. I was back and forth between Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield, like splitting hairs with those two. And, you know, it might not even be wise to have Wilson. I'm just such a big, I mean, mea culpa here. I'm a Wisconsin Badger fan, so you know, I'm a Russell Wilson guy,
and a Melvin
maybe
Gordon
I shouldn't
guy.
Have a guy who's and a Melvin Gordon guy, but maybe I shouldn't be that high on a guy whose offensive coordinator wants to run the ball 60% of the time. But I do have Russ just ahead of Baker, but excellent case to be made that Baker could be a top five guy. I mean, he's you know, definitely pushing top five.
Yeah, Baker is going at the near the end of the fifth round right now. As the it looks like the QB4. Honestly, if I had two stud running backs and two stud wide receivers, I'd consider him there. And we talk about don't take quarterbacks early, but I think Baker's going to be awesome. Nick Chubb, who's got him in the top 10?
Top 10? No, I think I have him. I have him 13 right now. I have him just outside. I've got Mixon ahead of him. And Marlon Mack ahead of him. So with Chubb, I do love him. I just am worried about when Kareem Hunt does come back. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't, but I am just because Kareem Hunt, we've seen him do it all. And then he's going to be on his own for quite some time. I think that they are going to try to integrate Hunt just to keep him fresh. And they might see a little bit more of a split. So I think he probably plays top 10 most of the season. I don't think he finishes top 10, though.
Let's talk about the wide receivers here. Jarvis Landry and OBJ. OBJ currently going at the 203 spot in a 12-team PPR. Jarvis Landry going in the fifth round. George, is that too late for Landry?
I don't think so. I think that's actually a good spot for him, to be honest. He's not a number one wide receiver. We've seen what happened last year when they tried to make him a number one wide receiver. Odell Beckham being there is going to take a lot of pressure off him. Another year with Baker Mayfield is going to help him. He'll be able to fall back to solely his slot position where he thrives. I think Landry is going to be a surprise this year. I think he's going to come out and have a fantastic year in PPR, and he's actually somebody I am targeting right around the fifth and sixth round.
Who gets more targets, Landry or OBJ?
OBJ, obviously. And Landry's – I don't just think it's going to be tough for him to finish top 20.
Lastly, David Njoku, currently going at the first pick in the eighth round. Pat, is that too high?
I think that's about right for him. I like him. I like him more than Vance McDonald, who we just talked about. I think I've got Njoku tight end nine. You know, I'd be much higher on him, obviously, if they didn't add Odell. You know, I think that limits the ceiling a little bit for Njoku, but man, this guy's athletic profile is just so impressive. The leaping ability, the huge frame, you know, a dude who can really move. I want to like this guy so much, and I think he's going to have some big seasons down the road. I just don't know if he can do it this year playing with two receivers who demand the ball the way Beckham and Landry do.
You know, this is his third year. It might be that third year tight end breakout.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about the floor. I think the guy's talented as all get out, but it's just not an ideal situation for him target-wise, I think.
Would you take Njoku or Hooper?
Njoku.
Okay, take a Hooper.
Yeah, I'd take Hooper.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Austin Hooper as well. I think he breaks out this season. Let's go ahead and move on, though. Cincinnati Bengals, Andy Dalton, Joe Mixon, AJ Green, John Ross, Tyler Boyd with the breakout last season, and Tyler Eifert, who said he feels good and might be back for two quarters.
Six games.
So really, there's only one guy I really want to talk about. We know Joe Mixon is a stud, finishes the RB7 last year. I think he led the AFC in rushing yards, if I'm not mistaken. Had a great season. I feel like he quietly had a great season, too.
Yeah, he did.
But AJ Green had off-season surgery on his toe, I believe, and that hampered him throughout most of the season. Right now, AJ Green is going at the 308. George, is that too late? He's going after Amari Cooper, Adam Thielen, T.Y. Hilton, Keenan Allen.
No, he should go a lot later. If you're listening and you're in the league with me, let him fall to the fifth round. That's where he should be taken. And this way I can snatch him up in the third round. Now, I think he should go right around the 2-3 turn, in my opinion. If he's going at 308, I'm not going to argue with that. But no, I think right around the 2-3 turn is where I think he should go.
All right, who's AJ Green or Thielen or T.Y. Hilton?
He's right there. He's right in that conversation. So you can toss a coin, but I'd probably maybe Thielen. But that's tough. You know, I think that turn right there, AJ Green, you got Hilton, and yeah, that's a tough toss. You flip a coin. That's tough.
Right. Pat, can you give me an answer? Because who's can't?
Yeah. So of those three, like I've got Hilton as a top 10 because, I mean, he's clearly the alpha dog in a good passing offense tied to a really good quarterback and, you know, better quarterback than either the other two. And, you know, there's not a complimentary receiver the caliber of Steph Diggs or Tyler Boyd for Hilton to share targets with. So he's a cut above the other two. And it's funny you mentioned Green and Thielen because I was doing ranks you know, a week or two ago, and like I must have spent 15 minutes trying to decide whether I like AJ Green or Adam Thielen more. And right now I've got AJ Green wide receiver 12 and Thielen 13, only because I think, you know, what we talked about before, the Vikings wanting to run the ball for some reason. And you know, since he's just having this much more balanced approach.
Well, you took him, you took T.Y. over Thielen and over AJ in this industry mock that we did in the top of the third round. So, yeah, that's so, yeah, you stick true with your rankings there. there was some Cooper did go afterwards, which I was a little surprised. And then AJ fell to me at the end of the third round.
Yeah, that's good value on AJ. I mean, I kind of agree with George that where he should be going is like maybe early third.
Yeah.
Let's move to Baltimore, finishing up the AFC North here. Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, Willie Snead, Marquise Brown, my guy right there, Willie Snead, and Mark Andrews. This looks like a pretty fantasy irrelevant roster, aside from Chris Moore, who's in there, who's going to light it up this year, right?
Chris Moore.
Sure. Right, yeah, you heard it right. I still play for the Ravens, guys. Anyways, Lamar Jackson had a really, really good run of great games, especially on the ground last season. I don't think he ever threw more than one touchdown, which was a letdown. But right now he's going in the 13th round, well after Ben Roethlisberger, as we talked about earlier. He's going as the 21st quarterback off the board. George, is that too late for Lamar Jackson, or are there just too many other good quarterbacks ahead of him?
No, I feel like Lamar Jackson is being undervalued. Last year, you really couldn't name any of his offensive weapons as far as wide receivers and whatnot. He came in, yeah, he had John Brown. I'll give you that one, but
he was solid until he took over.
Yeah, he was, but I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's severely underrated. I think he'll improve this year from last year. Coming in as a rookie, I think he got thrown into a situation he wasn't ready for. I think he's one of those players that actually needed to sit behind Joe Flacco and learn the game at the professional level for a year before coming in and being thrown in. I love the fact that they drafted a couple wide receivers in Miles Boykin and Marquise Brown. I love the fact they brought in Mark Ingram. And I think we'll see an improvement from Lamar Jackson. I think he's probably right around my number 15 quarterback right now.
Pat, is the 21st quarterback off the board too low for him?
It is, and I totally agree with George. I think I've got Lamar number 14 among the quarterbacks. And like, I think the Michael Vick comp is sort of relevant here. You know, Michael Vick was never a pinpoint passer. That wasn't the guy he was, and it's not the guy that Lamar Jackson is ever going to be, but he can still make plays through the air, and he will, and he'll get better at it than he was last year. I mean, people are not going to be able to forget that he, you know, couldn't pick up a first down through the air in that playoff game against the Chargers. Yeah. And, you know, that's going to stick out in people's minds, just, you know, how close that passing game was, but they've given him some weapons now. He's going to improve that. And what we saw from him last year was like this amazingly consistent rushing floor. Like every week he was giving you like 60 or 70 yards on the ground.
Oh, at least.
Yeah. Like all the time. And it was just so safe. And you know, when you're getting 70 yards and a touchdown on the ground, you only need like 160 yards passing for him to have a real, you know, to have him give you QB 1 week.
Well, that's all he's going to give you.
That's true. But I think with Lamar, you only need like 3,400 passing yards in a season. You don't need 4,400. You're not going to get it. Like, Bruce is saying, but
you might not get 440.
But the rushing though, I mean, I do think he's, and you know, as much as people love Kyler Murray as a runner, I think Lamar Jackson is the best, at least in the college level, he was the best running quarterback I've ever seen.
Would you take Jackson or Josh Allen?
I'd rather have Jackson.
Okay. Hoos, I'm going to give you 20 seconds here because I know I'm probably going to have to cut you off. How excited were you for Mark Ingram signing with Ravens?
I loved it until they brought in Justice Hill. I think Justice Hill is going to be there, complimenting him quite a bit, and he might lose the job eventually to him. So, I mean, I know they do like to use two backs, so maybe he gets used in the passing game. But that definitely tempered my expectations with Mark Ingram.
Well, I think they like to use two backs because they haven't had a back who could do it all before. And now they do. Mm. And lastly, George, on a scale of good to goat, how good is Willie Snead?
And I quote, who?
My Ball State guy, man. Anyways, let's move on. I don't think we have to talk about Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews. Let's move to the AFC South. Guys, we are not going to have time to get through the whole AFC today, so we're just going to do the North and the South, just in the interest of time for the most part. Starting with my team, the Indianapolis Colts, going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. Andrew Luck, Marlon Mack, Devin Funchess, T.Y. Hilton, and Eric Ebron / Jack Doyle. Andrew Luck right now going as the second quarterback off the board, which, you know, honestly, I think is appropriate. Jordan Matthews. I said Jordan Matthews. I was looking at Jordan Wilkins. We're not going to talk about either one of those guys. Marlon Mack being drafted as a top 15 running back. George, do you think he's going to finish top 15? He's being drafted above Leonard Fournette and Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, I think he'll be a top 10 quarterback, running back. Excuse me. I actually have him at number 8 right now.
Okay, so you would also take him over Aaron Jones, for instance.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Oh, yeah.
Only reason I brought up Aaron Jones is because, guys, we're hosting Draft Night Out at the National Fantasy Football Convention this year, and we have a signed Aaron Jones jersey to give away. Just wanted to plug that real quick. We've talked about Devin Funchess quite a bit on here, how we all think that's a pretty great fit for Andrew Luck in the red zone. T.Y. Hilton, obviously a stud. I loved their first offensive player pick, Paris Campbell.
Love it.
Pat, give me a brief little blurb about Paris Campbell. Do you think he's going to be the number 2 over Devin Funchess?
I think Funchess might be a little more valuable just because of his size and, you know, red zone possibilities with him. But Paris Campbell is definitely going to have an impact for them, I think. Just a guy who is really electrifying with the ball on his hands. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to be playing the same game that he was for Ohio State when he was catching pretty much everything within about 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. You know, I'm sure they're going to have him, you know, stretch his routes out a little bit more. I don't know if he has a huge impact in year one, but I do like the guy a lot. And it's a guy I'd be happy to take at, like, you know, the middle to back end of the first round in rookie dynasty draft.
He did only sign Ebron. That. Yeah, he did only sign that 1 year deal, so it's just a 1 year prove it. He's going in the 11th, and Paris Campbell's going in the 12th. So based on value, who would you rather take, Hoos?
Paris. Give me Paris.
And sorry to cut you off. You were about to say something about Ebron.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does that do for Ebron? Because they added so many pieces here. You got Doyle coming back. I mean, Doyle commanded a big amount of target shares when he was healthy. I know a lot of people on high on Ebron, some people not so much. Are you off of Ebron, Pat? Or
nope.
We know what your thoughts are.
So, relative to where he is going, though, like his ADP is what, like tight end 5 or something like that?
Tight end 4.
Tight end 4. So, yeah, I don't want any piece of... with him as I think I've got him at 8, but you know, right around where I wouldn't want to take him much higher than I'd take Njoku, just because, you know, when he is and Doyle have played, I think Doyle's actually seen more targets and had more receptions when they've been together. So you know, I think they can both be top 15, but it's real hard for me to imagine either of them being top 5 as long as the other is around. And now you've got these additional receiver too, so it's just hard to see either of these tight ends getting enough action to be a top 5 guy.
Now, Ebron did say he wanted to break Gronk's touchdown record.
Well, I mean,
lots of that.
I want to win a lotto.
I want to break Gronk's TD record. That doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I want to break his party record.
That could happen.
I would die.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Houston. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Miller, and they did not really bring in anybody. They still got Deonta Foreman there. DeAndre Hopkins, who obviously is a stud. He's being drafted as the 107 first wide receiver off the board. Will Fuller, who can't stay healthy, but when he is great. And then Jordan Thomas at tight end. Right now, Deshaun Watson is being drafted as the 5th quarterback off the board. George, do you think that's appropriate? The 502? Or 602?
Oh, yeah. He's got the best wide receiver in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's got a very safe floor with his rushing ability. Mm-hmm. When Fuller is healthy, he's really good. You could throw in Kiki Coatee. He's an asset as well. I love Deshaun Watson. Him being the fifth quarterback off the board should not surprise me. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Love it.
Pat, what about you? Fifth quarterback off the board for Deshaun Watson?
I mean, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, and I've actually got Watson number two ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh,
although, yeah. Honestly, I mean, I think you could kind of – I would have no trouble with you putting Rodgers, Luck, and Watson in any order. And yep. You know, maybe some people would even throw Baker Mayfield in there. I he'd be a little below those three for me. But, I mean, I'm just excited about the possibilities with Watson's running ability and this combination, as George mentioned, the Hopkins-Fuller-Kuti trio is, you know, three guys who can do a lot of damage for him. So, I am very bullish on Watson. I don't normally draft quarterbacks early, but, you know, in a 2QB league, like I played a couple of those, and I imagine that I'll be targeting Watson pretty aggressively.
Let's move on to running back here. Who's Lamar Miller being drafted at the end of the sixth round as, I believe, the 27th running back off the board? Sounds low, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, they didn't address the position. They do have Donta Foreman, but he's coming off of an injury. We wanted to see him come back to possibly help us win some championships, but he didn't. So we still don't know what he looks like. I mean, there's reports that he looks good, but you know, we got to see him in pads. We've seen Lamar Miller kind of muddle through and be a running back too. So I think that's safe. I think he could still do that. I think they still will use Donta Foreman, but Lamar Miller, he's solid year after year.
George, yeah. You take Miller or Cohen?
Cohen.
Oh, Cohen, easy.
Yeah. Pat?
What format?
Let's say PPR.
Ooh, PPR, really close. I think I'd still take Miller, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way, too.
Almost a dead heat, but I think Miller is a little bit underappreciated, and Donta Foreman can't catch a cold. So, like, there's a safe floor with Miller, at the very least, even if they split the early down work. Like, Miller's going to be the third down guy, I think. So, a little underappreciated. I mean, I'm not, you know, thinking that he's being too disrespected with that ADP. Like, it's not way out of whack, but, I think I'd rather Miller than Cohen for sure.
What about David Montgomery or Kenyon Drake?
Ooh.
Versus Lamar Miller.
I think in PPR, I'd rather have Miller than Montgomery. And, really close with Miller and Drake. Those guys are almost like a dead heat for me.
All right. So you think Miller, Cohen, and Drake all around the same spot.
Yeah, roughly, yes, in PPR.
All right, let's move on. Jacksonville Jaguars have Nick Foles as their starting quarterback. They did release Cody Kessler. He was on the Jags, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Jags. Yeah, he was on the.
Yeah, yeah, I thought they
was.
On the, so. Yeah, was. Nick Foles. I think the Jaguars are way too excited about this. Foles, I don't think he is really that much better than Blake Bortles. What about you, Hoos?
No, I mean, I think he's definitely better than Bortles. I mean, he's a Super Bowl MVP. It's not his fault that the team lost in the playoffs and their kicker just hit a field goal. They probably would have went on. So I think Foles is pretty good. He's hasn't had – when he's asked to step in, he steps in like he's the starting quarterback. So now he's going to have a whole camp as a starting quarterback. Now, obviously, we've seen him start before.
Yeah, we've seen him as
we've seen him start before. And I think that year that he did start in his defense, he still did to finish, I believe, QB 11. So I believe a lot of us drafted him a lot higher that year. It was quite some time ago. We thought he'd finish higher, but he still did finish a number one in 12-team leagues.
Well, that was after his, 23 touchdowns, 2 interception season? People drafted him super early.
Yeah, people drafted him super early. Really disappointment. But, yeah, he's older. He's just 30 years old. He's got experience. He he's at that prime, I think, in a quarterback's career that he can really do something. I'm not saying he's going to be a QB1, but, yeah, I can see him being a top 15 easily, which is right around Bortles material. But I think on a per-game basis, he will be better than Bortles.
He is going in the 16th round right now. So, basically, yeah, not being drafted.
Right. So, when I look at Foles, I think of a more accurate, less athletic Blake Bortles. So, Blake Bortles, he's more athletic. He would run for first downs. He would scramble out. I don't see Nick Foles doing that. Nick Foles' accuracy, obviously, better than Blake Bortles. So, I mean, I think it'll be a slight improvement. I don't think it's that much of an improvement over Bortles, though.
No, they're still not going to make the playoffs. Pat, Leonard Fournette going at the 304 in a PPR. Do you think that's about right? Should he be taken earlier, later?
Yeah, I think it's about right. I mean, I've got him at running back 16. I do have trust issues with Fournette's, and you know, as great as he was in college, and I loved him at LSU. You know, such a tough, hard nosed dude when he's right. And you know, and some pass catching skill too. And obviously, the Jaguars want to, you know, give him the rock 20 times a game. But I mean, these constant foot, ankle injuries he's been dealing with, you just wonder if he can stand up to the workload they want to give him, and whether his body can take the style of play that he runs with. So I've got reservations, but I do think he's a pretty solid running back too. You know, I think that ADP has him pegged pretty perfectly. And by the way, with Nick Foles, guys, he better work out, because their backups right now are Gardner Minshew and Tanner Lee.
Yep.
And as a Big Ten fan, I can tell you that Tanner Lee cannot play a lick. Like, yeah. I don't think he should even be a CFL quarterback, let alone an NFL quarterback.
As a Colts fan, I love how they signed Foles. So let me ask you this. I'll kick this one to you, Hu. Suppose you start off your draft with, let's say, DeAndre Hopkins and Mike Evans. Leonard Fournette is there for you in the third. Would you want him as your number one running back?
Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not.
Let's assume that, like,
like Pat was saying, you just can't trust the guy. I think I'd rather pick Sony over him. I'd rather D. Willie over him. Obviously, Marlon Mack.
Damian Williams isn't going to be there.
No, he's not.
Which I am going to be thrilled when someone takes him in the second round. I've talked about that before. Moving to the AFC West real quick. Damian Williams in the second versus, where was he going? Carlos Hyde in the middle of the ninth. Gimme Hyde all day. Yeah, I got like slammed that on Sleeper today for posting once again that Hyde's going to have more fantasy points than Damian.
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah. I firmly believe that. Just people like broke out the facepalm emojis and everything. Pat, what are your thoughts on Damian Williams?
Yeah, that's interesting. So right now I'm pro Damian. I have heard a lot of smart people say that, though, like, you know, suggesting that maybe Hyde is the better back. I just feel like Damian fits what Andy Reid wants to do more. And, you know, I might chicken out right now. I've got Damian Williams running back 14 just ahead of Marlon Mack and Leonard Fournette. And I might chicken out, back him down a little bit, like maybe below Mack, Fournette and Freeman. But I'd still be pretty happy with Damian Williams, like in the third round, if I could get him there. The second round, maybe a little too aggressive, but like I'd be right, thrilled with him in the third.
Yeah, I just think Hyde can do it. He caught 59 passes 2 years ago. Like, he can do it all. I think I would much rather have Hyde in the ninth than Damian Williams in the second.
Oh, yeah. Draft capital for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
All right, I think that's it for Leonard Fournette, even though we stopped talking about him.
Yeah, get George Armstead Marcus. If you're going to grab Fournette. Just make sure you grab Rykel Armstead.
Exactly. George, Marquise Lee or D.D. Westbrook?
They're close. Give me D.D.
Same here. What about you, Pat?
Oh, I'm team D.D. I got him as a top 40 wideout. I'm pretty bullish on him.
All right, where is he? I should have looked this up. He might not even be being drafted right now.
No, he is people are high on Didi. I've been doing a lot of mock drafts, and people are high on him.
He's going after James Washington, Mecole Hardman, and Larry Fitzgerald. Do you think he should go higher than those guys?
I do.
Yeah, I've got him ahead of all those guys and way ahead of James Washington.
Yeah, Washington is going right before him. Let's move to Tennessee. Last team that we're going to have time to talk about today, Marcus Mariota, Derrick Henry. They finally decided that they needed to give him the ball. Fantasy irrelevant wide receivers, Adam Humphries and Taywan Taylor. Corey Davis, this might be the year that he stops letting everybody down. And then Delanie Walker. George, Marcus Mariota, is he worth drafting at all? As of right now, he is not even being drafted in the first 17 rounds, according to Fantasy Football Calculator.
I'm only taking him in two quarterback leagues. Other than that, in a one quarterback league, he's not worth drafting.
In a two QB, would you even want him as your second? I would barely want him as my third.
Yeah, in a two QB league, I'll take him as my second quarterback. Yep. That's fine.
Would you rather have Foles or Mariota?
I'll take Mariota.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Derrick Henry. He right now is being drafted pretty high. Well, I guess not pretty high compared to where he's always drafted. He's always been drafted in the third round, which has usually been a mistake. But right now being drafted at the 311, right after Josh Jacobs, Devonta Freeman, right before Aaron Jones and Phillip Lindsay. Hoos, would you take Henry over all those guys?
It's tough. I guess I would. Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I might be on the Derrick Henry train this year.
I don't like it, but that's late. That's late for a running back.
It feels gross to say.
Yeah.
I was on the Derrick Henry train last year, and the end of the year, it finally paid off.
Yeah. I feel like I need to go brush my teeth after saying that.
I think I'd rather pick Josh Jacobs over. I think I'd feel better, like more giddy about Josh Jacobs. And then if Henry falls, I grab Henry afterwards. But
shiny new toy.
Yeah.
What about you, Pat? Let's say Josh Jacobs, Devonta Freeman, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones.
Go. Aaron Jones way ahead of the pack for me with that group. I'm sorry. Who? Jacobs, Henry, and who was the other guy?
Freeman, Henry, and Jones.
Oh, okay. And, like, if there's any sort of PPR component, like, Derrick Henry is dead last for me in that group. And he's not a guy I'm going to be interested in at all this year. I just think, I mean, he can just get game planned out of the mix so easily if not game planned, game scripted is what I meant. Like, if the Titans fall behind, and this is not like a powerhouse team that's going to be in command of a lot of games.
Yeah, when the Titans fall behind.
Yeah, when things break badly, you know, how much can they afford to play Derrick Henry when they're down two touchdowns? And, you know, he really padded the numbers last year with the Thursday night game against a Jacksonville team that just seemed to quit.
You like four touchdowns? Crazy.
Down 200 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean,
points.
Basically what Jonas Gray did against Colts.
Right.
Exactly. Then against a horrible Giants run defense the next week. Then against a horrible Redskins run defense the next week.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like the right set of circumstances for him. And I'm just not entirely buying into it. And, you know, with him giving you so little in the, you know, as a receiver, he is just a really hard guy to put out there and PPR and PPR leagues. And I worry that people are going to be taking a guy in the third round that they're not going to be sure they can start once the season gets going.
Man, so you want Derrick Henry in the third round, or you want Deion Lewis in the 10th round?
No, I mean Deion, but I like don't want to make plans around either.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, I felt so good about my hot take last offseason that Deion was going to have more fantasy points than Derrick Henry. Till about week 10.
Almost.
I was right.
Yeah, you were right most of the season.
Oh, anyways, Adam Humphries right now. We got to move on here. Being drafted in the 15th round. So basically undrafted for the most part because people are going to have to draft kickers and defenses. Should he be drafted, George? Is it worth it?
I'm not drafting him.
Nope. What about Taywan Taylor?
Nope. I'll take A.J. Brown over both of them.
All right. What about Corey Davis? He's going in the ninth.
I'll take A.J. Brown over Corey Davis.
All right. I don't think A.J. Brown, I didn't see his name in the in fantasy football calculator, so he might not be being drafted, which makes perfect sense to me because he did get drafted by the Titans.
He's going late, like 13th round or so right now.
Yeah, not according to FFC. Not even on
that's,
there.
That's just on like Sleeper. And
oh, yeah. I mean, different apps, but this one I can just see the whole draft board here.
Gotcha.
Pat, what about you, A.J. Brown or Corey Davis?
Corey Davis. I haven't totally given up hope. You know, I'd be willing to take him as my wide receiver 3.
Oh, so you think 9th round for him, that's pretty good value.
Yeah, it's solid value. In fact, I think I just took him in that sleeper wire mock, didn't I, Hoos? Did I get him in like the 8th maybe?
Yeah, where'd you get him? Yeah, you got him 6th round, actually. You took him in the 6th round.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
So you like Geis and Corey Davis.
And Pat's like, shit, that was a mistake.
He's like, well,
he's going behind Christian Kirk, N'Keal Harry, Sterling Shepard, right before Marvin Jones and Cortland Sutton. Hoos, would you take him over any of those guys? Kirk, Harry, Shepard?
I want Harry and Shepard
over Corey Davis.
Harry.
Same here.
All right. What about Marvin Jones? Would you take him over Corey Davis?
I would.
I still like Marvin Jones. I was really high on Marvin Jones the past couple of years. I hope he bounces back. I think I would, though. They're still right there, though. They're both right there.
What about you, Pat? Corey Davis or Marvin Jones?
I've got Davis one spot ahead of Jones.
All right.
See, this is the first time I disagree with George, I think, on this whole show. Like, we've been in lockstep the whole time, but George is disrespecting Corey Davis.
I am, I'll admit, I am just so low on Corey Davis. I've never liked him. I get coming out, you know, he was the next best thing, but that team, that quarterback, that I just don't want nothing to do with him.
See, the thing is, Corey Davis would be a superstar on a good offense.
He's not on a good offense.
I know, that's what's frustrating. Yep. He is uber talented. He'd be insanely valuable for fantasy.
I loved AJ Brown coming out. I wish he would have went to any other team other than Tennessee.
Oh, even Baltimore? Except Baltimore. But that was such a disappointing landing spot for that guy. I totally agree.
Yep, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, that is going to be all we have time for. We are, we're out of time. We do not have any time to go through the other two divisions of the AFC. We are going to get to those next week, so something to look forward to. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. You can find us at a whole bunch of different places, but before I list those, Pat, why don't you give our listeners your information, where they can find you, follow you, support you, all that good stuff.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Fitz_FF, and I have a weekly podcast, the Fitz on Fantasy podcast, available on iTunes and SoundCloud and most other places where you can find podcasts. And you can find my rankings and articles at thefootballgirl.com.
All right. And guys, please go support Pat. Honestly, I said this last year, I believe. You are one of the nicest guys in the fantasy industry.
My favorite.
Oh, you're too kind, Chris. I mean, I always love talking to you guys. And Chris, who's George, it's been a blast tonight. Yeah,
best friend of the show. Is this the fourth time on?
Best friend of the show.
It's at least 3. It might be 4, but I know it's at least 3.
Absolutely. All right, guys, I want to mention just a couple of the shows in the Sleepwire Network. Listen to Dynasty Wire, which is our Dynasty show here in the Sleepwire Network, and also Break from the Grind. George and Jason do an awesome job with that, a great show every single week where they don't talk about just fantasy football. They talk about life, which is a lot of fun. So it's not only a break from the grind from work, but also from just the standard fantasy football podcast that you can, you know, get anywhere. Aside from Sleeper Wire, right? Like I mentioned before, we are going to be at the National Fantasy Football Convention in Dallas this summer. We're going to have a booth there collaborating with the Eat Sleep Fantasy Podcast. It is going to be a ton of fun. We are the official after party draft party of the NFFC. It's going to be held at Top Golf, which is going to be a ton of fun. We got food, we got drinks, we got live drafts, we got giveaways, including signed jerseys, t-shirts. You get to draft with us, you get expert analysis on your teams. Go to draftnightout.com so you can get more information on that. Come see us in Dallas. It's going to be a blast. Also, follow us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. George is on there at BFTG Pod. Hoos is at Sleeperwire Hoos, and you can find me at Prof_ChrisSW. Then on the Sleeper app, join the Sleeperwire channel and look for Sleeperwire, Professor Chris, Prophet Hoos, and BFTGO. And then on the Fantasy Life app, Professor Chris, Hoos the Prophet, and George is Geo on there. Pretty active. Make sure you want to follow Geo there. And once again, I'll mention the Sleeperwire Fantasy Football Club in the Facebook group. Good group of guys in there. Mock drafts going on. Metal Mock Monday is coming back. And, I think that's it. Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show this week. We really appreciate it and being flexible with time. I know we had some scheduling issues, but you were awesome.
Oh, of course. Anytime, fellas. And thanks again for having me.
So for Hoos and George, I am Professor Chris. Thanks for listening. We will catch you guys next week.